sorrow. I'm bringing my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I'm bringing my shame.
I love how they go out there with like stacks of $1 bills, hand them out to everybody.
Oh, that's amazing. Our kids, are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah. One more time, all together. Children, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's go. Come, give it all to the Lord.
I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. Laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Oh, and I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my shame. Oh, and I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And we say yes, Lord, yes. Lord, yes,
yes, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, and we say yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord. Yes,
yes, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
yes, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Yes. Lord,
yes,
yes,
Lord,
amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lamb of God.
Took her adapter for the display in the children's church. Whoop, she caught me. Praise the Lord. She's really good at catching me. Praise the Lord. Move the mission. I almost wanted to say she's for Christ. Move the mission. Concluded last week. And the amount came to $4,001 and some odd cents. Praise the Lord. And the thermometer tracking for who brought in what, the boys won. And so they'll be going on an adventure and there'll be other good stuff going on. Thank you for supporting our young people. It's very, very important. Amen. It's something wonderful. Amen. That our young people have this in their life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 8, verse number 12 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Amen. I'm going to speak on a familiar topic to many. Amen. It is a topic that has already changed so many lives, and it will change yours if you'll hear me today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 8, verse number 12. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Amen. I heard the story last week, and I knew there was going to be a baptism today. So, of course, my subject is on baptism. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We're asking, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would have your will to be done even today. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Lord, that you'd have your will, your way, Lord, in our lives, in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I've taken the title of this message from the first portion of this scripture, When They Believed. Amen. When we believe Jesus Christ, things become different. Amen. I start to think differently. I start to act differently when I believe. Amen. I also know that there's a whole bunch of people in our world today that say one thing and then do another. Or they may see something and not believe it. Or they may hear something and they just don't believe it. You see, the Bible is an awesome testimony. It is an awesome history account of what went on in the days of Jesus Christ and in the time that God was talking to His people. The book of Acts in particular is the beginning of the New Testament church. Amen. This church is not new. It's been here since the establishment by Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. Amen. It's never left. It's not going to. It is anointed by God. Amen. And it's exciting. Amen. This chapter in Acts, chapter 8, it's tremendously intriguing, interesting. There are so many things in this chapter to ponder. Let me begin there to read additionally. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1. Verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. You ever try to put out a grass fire? It can be really hard. Sometimes when you stomp it, it makes the sparks, it makes the flames go faster. That spreads. That's really what it was doing. You see, there were those that were opposing the preaching of Jesus Christ. They were opposing the move of God. And as they tried to stamp it out, it expanded. They were scattered abroad and they went, not just running, they went preaching the word of God. Hallelujah. And Philip, he scattered. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. That's where our story today is going to take place. And preached Christ unto them. Amen. I want to say something good about Jesus Christ. Amen. It is He that is worthy. Praise the Lord. You see, preaching, revival always starts and continues with some good preaching. Amen. I believe in preaching. And not just because I'm a preacher, but because preaching changes us. Amen. It'll change your mind if you'll just hear the preaching of the Word. Amen. Never underestimate the power of the preached Word of God. Amen. I tell you what, just like it was testified today, it can reach right down inside of who you are. Amen. pull that bad thing out and put the good thing in. Amen. God is able to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It carries with it an anointing that only God fully knows. Amen. Preaching carries the anointing that God provides. Amen. Let me read from Scripture again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. In Corinth, that is. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I don't want to preach because of the intellect or the knowledge or the learning that I've had. I want to preach under the anointing, under the power, under the name of Jesus the Christ. Praise the Lord. He was not downplaying baptism. Baptism is an essential doctrine. It's an essential teaching in the Bible. It is an essential part of our walk with God, of our salvation. Amen. But he was upgrading preaching. Amen. Our world sometimes will downplay preaching. Oh, you know, I don't need the preaching. I've got the word. Well, yes, you do need preaching and the word. Amen. You do need to hear the preaching. Amen. I'm so glad that people are getting baptized. Amen. I want people to be baptized. Amen. But everybody needs a preacher. Amen. 1 Corinthians, moving on. Verse 18 is continuing to read. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Our world thinks preaching would be foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. This is something that you really need to experience. It's really something that you need to see and feel and experience yourself. Amen. It reminds me of when our COVID times were here and we were doing the little iPhone and the video feed to YouTube and Facebook, and we were trying to get the message out to as many as we could. It was good. It was all right. It had its purpose, and it did what we had intended. There were people that were watching it, but there's nothing like being there in person. Amen. It's just not equal. We need to get ourselves into the house of God, into the presence of the Lord, and be a part of the worship and the praise, and hear the preaching of the Word, and let God's anointing fall upon us. Amen. Praise the Lord. For it is written, verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will be nothing, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. There's a whole lot of learned people in our world today. A whole bunch of them are really, really smart. They may have much learning, but you and I need to know God. Amen. It pleased God by the foolishness, that is the absurdity. It just seems incredible
that God could do such a thing with preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Someone say, believe. Amen. I believe. I believe the preaching of the Word. I believe the Word of God. I believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. God created the world with the power of His Word. He spoke it into existence. Yet He allows the Word of God to be preached through human beings. And it still works. Amen. God's Word still is alive. God's Word still changes lives. God's Word still saves them that believe. You see, nothing really happens. There's nothing really gets accomplished until you believe. Amen. It is possible you could come to church and sit on the pew and rest yourself some. Hate to even admit it, but there's a few times I've seen somebody snoring and they went to sleep while I was preaching. That might be my fault. But you got to hear the preaching. You got to believe what the Word says. Praise the Lord. Preaching will save them that believe. Amen. Why? Scripture tells us, Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You're going to be saved when you're calling upon God. Verse 14, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." That word beautiful is timely. Amen. It was right on time. I don't know how many people have said it before, but it happens quite a bit in this church where God is dealing with somebody in Scripture or they've got a verse and it turns out that the very thing that God was talking to them about comes up by that very Scripture in the service. Amen. Amen. It happens a lot around here. I used to think people maybe got a peek at my notes. No. Couldn't have been. Couldn't have been. It was God having His will to be done. Praise the Lord. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It's beautifully placed where God wants it to be. God put us here together today. It's not a coincidence that we are in this house together today. God brought you here. God gave me this word for you that we might believe. Amen. The gospel of the kingdom has to be preached before the end time comes. Amen. And we're talking about starting end time ministries. If you're interested in that, come and see me. Amen. We're talking about doing it again at my house. Praise the Lord. The gospel has to be preached. In the Scriptures, you see it in the New Testament here in the book of Acts. They preached in the cities. They preached in the country. They preached in the synagogues. They preached in the streets. They preached in the homes. Let me continue. Romans 10, picking up at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth mine hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. There are people in our world that don't want to hear the word. Amen. But if you will believe, it'll save you. Preaching requires the ingredient of belief and faith. You got to believe the word for it to work in your life. Amen. Does anybody want God in your life? Does anybody want God to move in your life? Then you got to believe the word. You got to believe that he's real, that it's true, that his word is true. Amen. Going back to Acts chapter 8, where I was previously reading, picking up at verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. I'll tell you what, God can cast out devils. Amen. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've experienced being and praying for people and know that they've been delivered. Praise the Lord. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies. I tell you what, God can heal diseases. I know God heals diseases. And that were lame. I seen a guy with a torn ligament. Desperate. Because they were going to do surgery the next day. And I can't work. Because they said it's going to take months for my ligament to heal. And if I don't work, I don't get paid. You could see the desperation in his eyes. I need God to heal me. Came up on his crutches. Tim Matthews was his name. We had a prayer line. Came up and got prayed for. He went away and he was worshiping, praising God. You know what he did? He went back at the back of the line. And all the other people had already had their turn, and he went to the back of the line. And he came up again. Said, let's pray one more time. And went, okay, let's do it. Let's pray. Mike Webb was right with me. Mike, let's pray for him right now. We, in the name of Jesus, we both laid our hands on his head. And Jesus, help him. Jesus, heal him. It was no fancy prayer. We might have, prayed a 10-second prayer. He put both hands up. The crutches fell on each side. One side, the other side. Both of his hands went up. And he did the little jiggly jig on his feet. And he turned around and took off and started running. They had already taken the x-rays and he was sent for surgery. He brought that folder with him to the doctor appointment. He's supposed to have surgery the next day. He brought those papers and he was walking on his own without the crutches. Hey, doc, you can have these back. I don't need them no more. God healed me. Pray, man. No surgery. No doctor didn't need to get involved no more. It was all over. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they that were lame. We're healed. Amen. There's been people healed right here in this church. Amen. If God has healed your body individually, you yourself, I know you all know about healing, but if God has healed your body in a miraculous way, raise your hand. Look around you. God has God is in the healing business. Amen. Those taken with palsies and those that were lame were healed. Verse 8, and there was great joy in the city. Amen. I have never seen somebody get moved on by God and have a sad face. It never happens that way. When God is moving upon you, it's always a happy face. Now, I've seen some people cry, but being happy. That does happen too. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There was great joy in the city. When you believe, miracles happen. Amen. Joy comes to your life. God moves in your midst. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you, how does preaching affect you? Amen. How does hearing the Word of God affect you? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God, do you believe what I'm saying right now? That God is a healer? That God is a way maker? That God casts out demons? That God heals the sick? That God raises up the lame? That God saves people? He has... The Word is able to change your life, both physically and spiritually. The spiritual life, in your spiritual life, are still, is it still going in frustrated circles? Is your life at home or your life even possibly here at church, or is there something that still needs God to intervene? I tell you, you can have God in your life today. God can move in your situation today. Yes. Amen. If the preaching is producing in other people, God is healing other people, God is delivering other people are getting baptized, other people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost, God is moving in a miraculous way, God's Spirit is prevalent in the service, and it is palpable, you can feel the presence of God. If that environment is working in other people, then it's able to work in you. Amen. It is able to work in you. Amen. If it's not working in you, the problem isn't with God. The problem is then in the individual. There's something I got to get rid of, or something I got to step over, something I got to get past. And God is really good at putting the past in the past. That he can bring you over that problem that's been holding you down. Amen. God can bring you out of the situation that you've been in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. Beginning at verse number 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Coming short is still having the problem. Still struggling with sin. Still having something holding you back. If you're still in that sort, if you're still coming short, listen up. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. I tell you what, can you believe that there is an Almighty God? Yes. Amen. I do believe it. I do believe. I have faith that there is an Almighty God. Amen. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Jesus said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. You see, the word is able to save us. Amen. Faith is what engrafts us into him. We got to have faith in God. We have faith, and obedience is what it takes to turn it from the pages of a book to a lifestyle. That it really touches my life. It's got to come off of the page. It's got to have faith. We got to believe. We got to be obedient to the Word. We got to live this life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Unless you believe and obey, preaching will not save you. Unless you receive it, unless you believe it, preaching should produce joy in every person. Everybody. All are going to experience this joy. It's not heaviness. It's joy. The rich young ruler, he was called, but he went away sorrowfully because he wasn't willing to let go of the money. His heart wasn't right. It wasn't willing to let go of something in his life. I'll tell you what, we got to be willing to, whatever, Lord, do whatever you want with me. Lord, whatever you want to do is okay with me. Amen. Back to Acts chapter 8, picking up at verse number 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. He was not the power of God. Okay, let me just pause right there. He was not what he thought. You know, there's a whole bunch of people in our world that are fake. Fake news is real. They really are lying. In fact, this guy, I believe, was doing the work of Satan. He was doing the unclean thing before the people. Verse 11, and to him they had regard because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. You see, God doesn't trick people. God's not going to today trick you. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 12, next verse. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Amen. If you see it, if you believe it, if you have faith that God is real and His name is, say it with me, Jesus! If you believe that it's Jesus! It's Jesus! Praise the Lord. If you really believe that there is a God and His name is Jesus, then just like it happened in the Bible, just like they did in Scripture, when they believed, they were baptized. Amen. Last night, yesterday evening, put off a little text. Would you make sure that the baptismal tank is plugged in? Got here this morning, lifted the lid, put my hand in there. That water is so nice and warm. It's ready. There's baptismal robes in the side room over there. There's a changing spot. You could be baptized today. If you really believe that there is a God and that His name is Jesus, if you really have faith that God is real, if you believe that He is God, what is the problem? Why wouldn't you want to be baptized in Jesus' name? Well, they were in the Bible. They were baptized when they believed. When you mix your faith with the preached Word of God, when you put what you see on the pages of the Bible and apply it to your life, it's like everything is in the package. It's like all you got to do is put it in the bowl, just stir it up. But you know what? You got to add water. It doesn't happen without the water. Amen. You got to be baptized by immersion. You got to go dip you down about 1 second. Up. You know what? You may go down and get wet, but it is something that is far beyond the physical. It is something supernatural. It is something that is ordained and positioned and placed by God. It's God's plan that remission is brought in the name of Jesus Christ, in baptism, in His name. Yes, He is our Heavenly Father. Yes, He is the Son of God. And yes, He is the Holy Ghost. But His name is Jesus. Amen. You need to be baptized in His name. You see what that verse right there, Acts 2:38, what it says? In the name of Jesus. It didn't say in the titles of the mighty God. Man, you could be reading, you could be sitting, you could drown by the time they got through all the names of God. There's a whole bunch of names of God. Or titles, titles. Whole bunch of attributes. Whole bunch of Jehovah. There's a whole list of them. But His name is Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I tell you what, it is a new start in our lives when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when we go down, when we are baptized in Jesus' name, it's for the remission, that is payment of sin. Amen. When you go down, when you get into water, you're a sinner. You get dipped down. When you come up, the name of Jesus has remitted, paid for by that obedience, by obeying the Word. God has applied His sacrifice on the cross at Calvary. That payment is applied to your life in baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the only way anyone was ever baptized in the whole Bible. Only in the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. It is the correct form. It is the method that is used in the Bible. In every instance. When they believed the preaching of the name of Jesus Christ. It's the name of Jesus. It's the preaching of His name that makes the difference. Amen. Only biblical baptism can wash away our sins in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12 and 13 and 14. Neither is there salvation in any other. You ain't going to get to heaven because you made a donation. You ain't going to get to heaven because your mom and dad were good folks. You're not going to get to heaven because you have good intentions. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen. I have been with Jesus. Jesus has changed my life. I have seen the miracles and the power of God. I have experienced Him myself. I myself have been baptized in Jesus' name. I myself have been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Praise the Lord. I'm not against Bible college, but you don't have to have a seminary degree. Amen. But you do need an experience with Jesus Christ. That's what you need. Back to Acts chapter 8, verse 14, picking up. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, great joy in the city, people being delivered, lame people walking, great, man, God is moving, revival is happening. But that wasn't the end. Even though you have a great experience with God, even nevertheless, I don't want to downplay the miracles. I don't want to downplay God delivering somebody. I don't want to downplay God healing the lame or even raising the dead. I don't want to downplay the things that God is doing in people's lives. It's great. It brings great joy. But there's more. There's more. Amen. They sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet He was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Something powerful happens when we call on Jesus, when we believe the preaching of the Word, when we know that God is moving in our lives. Verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Whoa is right. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, they may receive the Holy Ghost, or speak in tongues. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. You can keep your money. You can't buy this, my friend. It's not for sale. Amen. Verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thine heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. He was honestly mistaken, I believe. But he got set straight, amen, by the preached word of God. Amen. He got set straight. And you know, sometimes preaching might offend us. But if it's in the Word, if it's in the Word, we can obey it. We can believe it. Amen. We can know that it's true. You see, his mistake was thinking that he could buy this. You know, you can't just put some money in the offering plate and say, okay, I'm saved. It just doesn't happen like that. It's not possible. Or, you see, he also had the alternative motive that, you see, before they thought he was somebody. And, people put him on a pedestal. And, you know, he wanted to be up on that pedestal. And he wanted to have power over the people. You know, it's not about power. It's not about you gaining influence. It's not about us, you know, having rule over somebody else. No, it's about lifting up Jesus. It's about pointing toward Him. It's about calling out who God is and about proclaiming the greatness and the glory of our Savior. Yes, I believe in preaching. The question is, Do you believe it? Do you believe the preached word of God? Do you believe that there is an almighty God and His name is Jesus? Luke 24, verse 46, 47. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2. Musicians, would you come? I'm wrapping this up. Therefore, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, and reading down a few verses. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, when they believed that there is a God, and His name is Jesus. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And it gets to verse 38. And Peter said unto them, see, Peter was the guy with the keys to the kingdom. He was given the authority to identify how to be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, tells us what to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, tells us how to do it. For the remission of sins, it tells us why. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words He did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. If I could save you, I'd run back there and catch you. If putting you in a headlock and flipping you in the water would help.
Oh, no.
I would consider it. There's some I'm pretty sure I'd have a hard time with. But that ain't going to help. You got to decide yourself. In fact, I've done the part that God gave me. I've preached the Word. I've preached what God says. I've preached the Scriptures already. Let me close with this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. They killed Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. He died in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Jesus did not stay dead. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Jesus did not stay in the grave. You know what? The Holy Ghost will quicken you too. Amen. At the last trump, it's going to bring us out of here one day. Praise the Lord. Verse 19, by which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The next verse tells us what it's talking about. The like figure. You see, Noah, his world was full of sin. God gave him instruction to build the ark. He got in the ark. The water lifted him up, and sin was washed away. I tell you what, God wants us to get in the ark, to get in the household of God. Get in the church. Have faith in Him. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. I tell you what, getting baptized, if you're a murderer, it doesn't bring the person back to life that you murdered. But the penalty for sin, which is death, was paid by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can take our penalty for our sin. In fact, He did take that on the cross at Calvary. But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus did it for you. Would you stand with me? It's a powerful experience. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you go take me? Pam, come on in. Go get ready to get baptized. We have one right now that's going to get prepared to be baptized. Would you lift your hand? Come on up. Let's pray at this altar.
Hallelujah.
While they're preparing, why don't we lift our hands toward God? Why don't we magnify Him? If you have not been baptized, you may have been baptized before.
Yes, Lord.
But if you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus,
Jesus,
today's the day. Right now is the time. Right now is the day that it's the right time to be baptized in Jesus' name. Magnify Him with me. Musicians, would you play? Let's magnify God. Let's love the Lord right now.
That's flowing. There's a fount that's flowing. There's a fount that's flowing with precious cleansing blood from the crown of to the nail-scarred hands coming down from the cross, and it's to every man. There's a fount that's flowing with precious cleansing blood. There's a fount that's a fount that's flowing. There's a fount that's flowing with precious cleansing blood from the crown of to the nail-scarred hand coming down from the cross. And it's to every man. There's a fount that's flowing with precious cleansing blood. And it flows from Emmanuel's face. And it's here. It's available. Oh, there's a fire.
There's a fount that's flowing. There's a fount that's flowing with precious cleansing blood. Oh, from the crown of thorns to the nails, God has coming down from the cross. It's to every man. There's a fount that's flowing. Oh, with precious cleansing blood. And I know it's flowing from Emmanuel's name. And it's here for you. It's available today. Oh, and the blood he shed never lose his power. There's a fount that's flowing with precious cleansing Emmanuel's name. I said it's here for you. It's available today. Oh, and the blood he shed will never lose. Oh, never lose its power. There's a fount that's flowing with precious cleansing blood. It's flowing straight from the cross. It's flowing. Whoa. I said it's flowing. It's flowing. Oh, it's flowing. Whoa. Oh, it's flowing. Yes, it's flowing. It's flowing. Yes, so it's flowing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sister Pam, it is so good to be able to do this today. Amen. God is amazing. You just can't make up these stories that about how God has just impacted people's lives. And I'm just so grateful that our church family can be a part of that. It's just such an honor, amen, to be able to be here and available for people, amen, that need God, need friends, need family, amen. I told her last week, I said, where you been all our lives, amen. Praise God. This baptism, I was reading last week in Numbers chapter 19. And in Numbers 19, you have the story or the instructions for the ashes of the red heifer. Not only was this a special sacrifice, it had to be flawless, perfect. And the purpose of the ashes of that sacrifice was for separation and purification. Amen. And so, in fact, it was to the Israelites called the waters of separation. Just like in the Exodus, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they went through the Red Sea, through the water, it separated them forever from Egypt. It was a mark, a place, a time where their enemies drowned in the sea. It was a place where they never had to look back. Hallelujah. See, God wasn't going to part the Red Sea on the way back to Egypt. They'd have to work their way around if they were going to do that. But those waters of separation, it's going to change this from this moment. The application was with water. And those ashes would be mixed with the water. And when they would go and be, that water would be applied to them, they would be purified and clean. Amen? And that's what we're doing today. This isn't just an initiation into a church. This isn't just a necessary obligation. When we take the name of Jesus, all the power of the Calvary, of the hill of Calvary, is in that name. All the power to cleanse and separate a life from a life of sin and a life from before God is in that name. And when we take that name and mix it with the water, amen, that life is changed forever. Praise the Lord. The man that was leading the men's conference actually mentioned this. He said, when we go to try to baptize people, there's such a fight. And I'm saying this for several here that you've been putting it off. You've been putting it off, putting it off. There's such a fight when it comes to baptism in the name of Jesus. Because the enemy doesn't want you to go through that Red Sea. And he'll do everything he can to stop you. But I'm here today to declare, the devil is defeated. Amen. Amen. So I'm so excited about this, sister. God is so good. And we're going to have, Sister Jerry, would you help pray? And we're going to have some help here. And Sister Brown. Amen. Brother Warren, where are you at? Come here. Jesus, right now, God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, have your way, God. Bless Sister Pam today, God. Lord Jesus, that when she comes up out of the water, that she's a new creature, Lord God. Lord, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new, Lord Jesus. God, Lord, that you would fill her with the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, Lord God. That Jesus, that there would be a marked difference in her life, Lord God. And that forever, Lord Jesus, she would belong to you, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, you've already seen Sister Pam and how that she's repented of her sins. Lord Jesus, we're here right now to baptize her in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
I believe, yeah. I believe.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amazing. I was just talking to Sister Pam after we baptized her, and I was giving her a little quick explanation of what was going to happen to her when she received the Holy Ghost. And she said, "I want that." And I started praying, "God, if you don't give her the Holy Ghost right now, she's going to be upset about it." Amen. And we were encouraging her. Thank you, Sister Jerry. Thank you, Sister Evelyn, for coming up. And Sister Brown, Sister Ashley. That's what it takes. It takes a family of God. Amen. Working and praying and loving people together. Amen. For this type of thing to happen. Praise the Lord. Does anyone else want to get baptized today? Let's pray. Jesus, right now, God. Lord, I'm asking you, Jesus, to speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. God, reveal to us, Lord, your plan, God. Move, Lord Jesus, upon us, oh God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to serve you, Lord God. Help us to take this step closer to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you right now to move on us, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, move on our minds and our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, change our lives, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Exalt His name together. Jesus, I thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming. Amen, it's so good to see your family, sis. We haven't seen you in a while. Amen. Can't stay away long, too long, because I forget all of the kids' names. Amen. And I don't like that. I like to remember names. Praise the Lord. But everybody that came today, we're so thankful and grateful that you're here. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.